Good morning and welcome. Hour number three begins. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Some of your top stories. Secret Service report comes out. 200 pages of, well, nothing we didn't already know. Lack of leadership and really just doing a poor planning job. The advanced teams, inexperienced, and the list goes on. Drones in New Jersey. What? Yeah, it's still a what question. Exactly. And also, that CEO assassin, apparently he had also plotted to initially bomb some place somewhere in Manhattan, maybe still targeting that CEO, but using a bomb in instead of a gun. There's a lot more to talk about. Some of it we want to talk to Congresswoman Kat Kamick about. Good morning, Congresswoman. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. I hope you're staying warm. Floridians, you know, we're not used to this kind of weather.
Well, actually, yeah, we got a little warm spell. Then the cold stuff's coming, the warm stuff. You know, the kind of stuff that where you get air conditioning colds and then it just goes from there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll deal with it. Hey, let me ask you this. How effective do you think that Ilan and Vivek are going to be with their program, Doge?
Well, I'll start with, I think they're going to be very effective. One thing that we have seen in the last couple of years is the ability for the outside, right, the people and different organizations and whatnot to influence what happens in Washington. And if there's one thing we know about Washington, it's filled with a bunch of chicken crap politicians. And they are scared of their own shadow. And so when you put two incredible individuals like Vivek and Ilan in a room with members and they basically say, hey, listen, this is our mandate from not just President Trump, but the American people. We've got to figure out a way to cut waste, fraud, and abuse, and all the inefficiencies out of government. I had to say, because I was in one of the meetings last week with Ilan and Vivek, and you know we were chatting, and I couldn't help but send Vivek a text message afterwards, and I said, you see, some of the members that are standing up, and now all of a sudden these are hardcore fiscal conservatives. These are the same people that had no problem passing CRs without reading them, or spending billions of dollars in omnibuses and doing earmarks. These are the same people that continue to spend into oblivion. Now they turn around and they're somehow fiscal conservatives. But hey, I'll take it. If this is the new thing that's hot and popular, I'm all on board, because we need people in every single vote to get on board with paring down government as we know it. We're on an unsustainable path.
Yeah, I can't remember how many times I've heard in my lifetime how, you know, the era of big government is gone now from both Republicans like Reagan and also, you know, even Democrats, Bill Clinton. I remember when he said it as well. So maybe we'll see some real changes in our lifetime. Let's hope so. You were one of the first to really talk about the weaponization of government, and it's got to feel pretty good that Joe Biden basically agrees with you, you know, that the government was weaponized against his son, right?
You know, when they start saying the quiet part out loud, that's a moment of reckoning. I have to tell you, after 2 years, Jim Jordan and I and our team, we had gone through, had hearings, issued reports, groundbreaking reports. I mean, really proving without a shadow of a doubt that the federal government, the agencies, and particularly the political appointees were weaponizing federal resources against everyday Americans. And for 2 years, the Biden administration, heck, I remember at one point the White House did a press conference and KJP called me by name a liar for talking about the weaponization of government. And now to have it come full circle, it really does make you feel all warm and fuzzy that really you've been right all along. And now they start to see, maybe what we've been doing sets a precedent that isn't so great. Maybe we should have been a little bit more mindful along the way. So I think this is going to be very interesting here in the last couple of weeks of the Biden administration. What else comes? I expect major leaks to come out of the White House, because now everyone's going to be in CYA mode. So hang on for that.
All right. Looking forward to it. I'm pretty certain, but I'm not sure. I'll let you speak for yourself. Pam Bondi, a good move for attorney general, I would imagine.
Yes, I think the picks have been fabulous. Pam Bondi is going to do amazing. We have a whole host of Floridians, honestly, that are going to be, you know, taking up residence in Washington, D.C., which I think is great, because for how long have we said, make America Florida? It's really the place that is the new blueprint for freedom and liberty and self-determination. So I think Pam's going to be phenomenal. I think Kash Patel is absolutely going to rock the FBI to their very core. And do some very, very good house cleaning there. We have so many incredible nominees from Commerce with Howard, somebody who really is a true patriot. I mean, it really doesn't get better than who we have as far as the slate. And I do think that Pete Hegseth is going to do a great job as well. It's going to be a nice change not having a Secretary of Defense who is bought and paid for by the defense contractors. So, another great move.
Well, look, I think these are great moves, and I think that, you know, we'll make some changes in government that'll be positive, but I'm also concerned that you can't shift the culture quite as quickly, and I guess what I'm getting to here is you've got a murderer activist, murder of a CEO, in some circles on the left as like a folk hero, and the true hero that may have saved lives on the subway puts himself out there, Daniel Penny, he's vilified. Yeah. What the heck's going on here?
Well, you and I have talked about this before. We're living through this era of entertainment where the end goal for influencers and now politicians alike is to increase the temperature in the room, and more outrageous content gets more clicks, and it's become this, you know, rush to the top of Mount Clickmore. And that has helped breed a culture that is completely cattywampus. And I look no further than a tweet I saw last night from Jamal Bowman. We all remember him in New York. Thank goodness he is no longer going to be spending his time as a member of the House.
Is he the fire alarm puller?
Yes, he is the infamous fire alarm puller. Yes, and he put out this lengthy tweet last night, and I could only read about half of it because I just got pissed off. And it basically starts out with, "Dear white people, I don't know what to do about you," and goes into this tirade and talk about a race baiting, horrible, just tirade that when I finally like caught my breath, I'm like, you know what? He's doing this so he can get clicks. He's doing this so he can get attention. But there's something in this undercurrent where people have latched onto it, and it's part of this bigger issue that we're having in the country, which is a little bit of a populist movement that ties into the angertainment. It's ultimately dangerous because it pits people against each other based on whatever box you check. It's Republicans versus Democrats. It's black versus white. It's women versus men. It's turned into this massive us versus them. And it's all, at the end of the day, for profit. And look no further than what's happening with the online clicks and the shares and the monetization and what goes on there. So the only way that we defeat this, though, ultimately, is if we can put a stop to it and have people who are willing to stand up and just take a stand. Like, I've seen some insane commentary about the shooting, the effectively assassination of the UnitedHealthcare CEO. That man has a family. I don't care what your thoughts are on the insurance companies, and we all have an opinion on it. Certainly, I know I do, and it's not a great one, but this is a human being, and we should never tolerate this type of violence. Hard stop, right? And what Daniel Penny did was he saved people's lives on the subway. He stood in the gap when no one else would. He is a courageous hero, as far as I'm concerned. Everyone should be able to stand up and say, that is, in fact, true. And what was happening on the subway that day was a tragedy. We wish it hadn't ended that way, but he stepped up when no one else would. People are just too cowardly to stand up and say the truth.
Well, and this is going to, you know, the fact they drag him through court, even though he got off the charges, still, it's going to send the message, don't step up and help your neighbor. Congresswoman, always a pleasure. Stay safe. We look forward to hearing from you again soon. It's an exciting time. We're hoping for good things. Keep it up.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
All right. It is 8:16. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Lots of headlines and things to talk about. And we're just talking about Daniel Penny. The governor invited him to come down here. Get your life together. Kind of like a fresh start. I like it. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Another awesome day. And a little liquid sunshine sprinkled in for good measure.
Hey, just so it stays liquid, that's okay.
You don't want it to turn into snow?
Not really, no.
Huh.
Oh, I guess it, well,
you can't really,
it might be fun.
It's not like you could use it. It's not like there's,
yeah.
Well, I guess we could ski Mount Dora. No, not much elevation there. I climbed Mount Dora.
Yes.
Anyway, it is 8:22. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's a happy hump day, Trump Day, on the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy. Top stories, drones in New Jersey still haven't figured out what the heck. What the hey? What is it? Nobody knows. But the governor there, Murphy, he's a Democrat, and he's... Oh, yeah, it doesn't appear to be, you know, a threat to public safety. Doesn't appear to be. Nothing's a threat until it is, especially when it's something that you haven't yet identified. Yes.
Who knows? Actually, we don't know. Somebody knows, though.
You think so?
Well, somebody's fine, I think.
I don't know. Could be AI, man. AI's out of control. Did I tell you about what I think was AI? Or actually, Betsy said it, but...
what's that?
Okay, so you know when you go to some apps and channels on your TV, right? They control the program, so you're forced to watch the ads, okay? And then and it's like, okay, well, there's nothing I can do about it, you know, and so you suffer through it. And then I realized, even if you recorded something, depending on the show, of course, remember the old, you just fast forward through commercials? No, it was a Dateline. It was a Dateline, and it wouldn't allow that function to work. Now, usually it'll tell you, you know, this function won't work on your TV. We're going to, you know, you've got to watch the commercials or whatever. But it didn't say that. And it didn't put the little thing up in the left-hand corner, which usually says like 100 seconds, 90 seconds. None of that was there. So they're manipulating, basically, I think somehow, is it your box? Because if you had a TiVo device that wasn't connected to, say, the cable company, wouldn't it work? When you say fast forward, can you imagine that? If you bought a cassette tape of music or whatever and yeah, and you want to fast forward, and sorry, you can't. Yeah. You can never fast forward or rewind it. It's very frustrating.
I'd say it's embedded. So your box or whatever you're using has no control over it.
Wow.
I mean, it's a digital world, you know.
I guess they can. Yep. But it seems like that would have to be allowable. In other words, the cable company would have to give permission for them to embed something that would disconnect your control over your DVR.
Yeah, but look at, I'll play devil's advocate. That sponsorship.
You like doing that too much, but go ahead.
Yeah. That, basically, you got to figure out, all that programming is going to get paid for somehow. And that's where those spots come from, just like the things that we run. And so they're preventing you from avoiding hearing what's being paid for. You're going to hear it or see it, whether you like it or not, because somebody paid for it to be there. And that's why you're getting the content, is because somebody paid to sponsor it.
Yeah.
And they're not going to take that, away from the people who paid for it because they want to get paid.
Yeah, and when it's if it's like an app, you know, I know I'm not paying for that, but if it's a cable channel, well, first of all, I'm paying the cable company. Then sometimes it could even be like a pay channel, and it seems like they're making you watch some ads here and there, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, I just... When my little clicker...
He's talking about remotes, friends. That's what a cheechaw is.
Yeah, when you push fast forward on that and it doesn't do what you tell it to do, I don't like that.
Well, but how many times we deal with our computer stuff? It's digital. You can tell it to do what you want it to do all you want. Doesn't matter.
And then they're embedding all this stuff in your car.
Oh,
now,
absolutely.
Some of the features you can override, but I don't know if there's a lot of them you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll sell it to you in terms of safety and all that, but again, we're just slowly being manipulated further and further.
State is in there, too, for our protection, Bob.
Yeah, we're not autonomous at all anymore. Freedom? No. Ha-ha.
Like the BMW I had, I remember once, I forget what it was I was, there was a noise I was trying to figure out, or something was behind me to the left. And I wanted to back up, but I wanted to literally look out the door to see what it was.
Right.
No, open the door, the brakes went on.
Yep.
Like, no, it's my car. If I want to drive backwards with my door open, let me. But no, wouldn't do it. It stopped.
Yeah, well, what needs to happen is accidents that occur as a result of these features. Then you're going to have lawsuits. Then they'll go, oh, well, maybe we shouldn't force the owner-operator to have to deal with all of this. But, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're bypassing your brain.
Well, and then we talk about why everything costs so much. Why do cars cost what they do? Look, it's technology. Look at sure, I bought a brand-new car years ago for a few thousand dollars, but we didn't have airbags, anti-lock brakes, all these computers.
Yeah, it's not all bad.
No, but we're paying for it, so, yeah.
So you're an NFL player.
Okay.
Being smashed to the ground might be part of your day at work.
Yeah.
But yet there's one thing an NFL player was told not to do because of how unsafe it could be. And it's something that a whole lot of people do every day. I'll explain coming up next on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally get them. Click subscribe. You'll get that Congresswoman Kat Kamick interview. Also upcoming, Louis Valdez from Gun Owners of America. Stand by. Good morning and welcome. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Yeah. It's 8:34. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Top story, Secret Service report comes out, 200 pages. Yeah, lack of leadership, lack of experience for the advance team, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's all the obvious things. Most of the things that we've covered in discussions before, they need to really almost start over from the ground up, really. There's, I don't know, 37 different actionable things that they could do.
Wow.
We'll see. Still haven't figured out the drones in New Jersey. What are they? Who's running them? Do they present a public risk? The governor of New Jersey says no. How would you know that? You don't know what the heck it is.
You don't know who's behind it, but you can assume, oh, but there's nothing to be concerned about here.
Yeah.
Right.
Daniel Penny, threats being made against his life. Very, very sad.
Oh, brother.
And, you know, all this guy was a hero. He stepped up when others may not or wouldn't on a subway when a very dangerous person was making crazy threats, acting like, well, a crazy person, and also high on illicit drugs. Yeah. And so he steps up and does the right thing, and he ends up having to go through all the court process and all of that. What a waste of taxpayers' money. Totally wrong. Sends the wrong message, for sure, to the public. Hey, don't step up. Don't help your neighbors.
Yeah.
Just watch while they get raped and beaten.
Well, a great message there.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. No wonder people are leaving New York in droves. And even Eli Manning apparently came out and said, look, 16 years, I played for the New York Giants. The team told me, we forbid you from riding the subway. You could get pushed in front of a train.
Oh, my goodness.
It's dangerous.
Wow.
It is crazy. He said, yeah. He recently revealed on social media that he did. He took the subway for the first time this past week.
Unreal.
Long since retired, yeah.
Hmm.
Yep, because the Giants forbade him from riding the subway for fear someone might push him onto the tracks.
That's amazing.
Well, it is New York. I mean,
well, yeah. Well, and it's sad because we've talked about this, how it's gone through phases. We know what it was like and how we heard about it when we were kids in the 70s. Terrible place to be. Had a couple of good mayors come along, get things cleaned up. Then I was there probably 15 years ago. Felt just fine. I don't think I'd go there now.
Do you remember this name? Bernie Goetz.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Shot those kids. I guess they were black kids, right? They were trying to rob him.
Uh-huh.
And he
lots of flashback.
He did get off on that one, and that one was
questionable.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Were they baited? Was it? Yeah, you just don't know.
And then when they tried to run away and they were shot in the back.
Yeah, you can't do that.
But people were afraid on the subway.
They were.
They were very afraid, and they're afraid again. And I guess they should be. But Eli Manning was apparently on a podcast called The Manning Cast, and his co-host and elder brother, Peyton, who you might be familiar with. If you don't know who these guys are, you don't have to be a football fan.
Oh, no.
If you don't know who they are,
watch a shampoo commercial or something. They'll show up, or Doritos or something.
If you don't know who they are, you might probably have friends that have drones in New Jersey.
Ooh.
Doo-doo-doo-doo. You must be from another planet. Hey, so Peyton, I mean, he was bewildered. He's like, what? You'd never ridden the subway during your entire career in New York? Yep, Eli, this was very shocking to me. I thought you were a man of the people, he said. You've lived here since 2004. First time riding the subway? Disappointed. And Eli responded with a brief geography lesson, pointing out that the Giants play in New Jersey and the New York City subway travel wasn't necessary. However, the former Giant also revealed that he couldn't have ridden the subway even if he wanted to. I was in my contract when I was playing. I wasn't allowed to ride the subway. I could get pushed in front of a train. And apparently that's not limited just to him in the subway. There have been contractually things. Restrictions like riding motorcycles.
Right.
Who was the quarterback for the Steelers? Roethlisberger, remember he?
They don't want
ended
you to get
up
hurt
on the windshield
season.
Of someone's car.
Yeah.
Surfing.
Oh, yeah.
Rock climbing. Skiing and skateboarding and other dangerous recreational activities.
But you can play football. It would give you lots of money for it. But well, don't hurt yourself on your own
if
time.
If you hurt yourself.
Right. Then you're in trouble.
Yeah, while you're earning a wage.
Yep, because we need you to play. Well, some actors are like that, too. There's certain things they're not allowed to do while filming a series or filming a movie because they may hurt themselves. So,
and that would cost the investors that a ton of money. So they look at it from that standpoint. Yeah, if your number one quarterback goes down and you paid a lot of money, and then you don't win as many games, et cetera, has trickle-down effects. So, no, I could see that. I remember when they told Neil Bortz, talk host, who was here on this station, and then he retired. You can still catch him every once in a while on social media. What a great guy, just a few times I got to meet with him. But anyway, I remember him talking about it on the air, in fact, that like his producer and stuff, they couldn't ride in his plane. In fact, it was a fight for him to be able to continue to pilot his own plane.
Really?
Well, yeah, because you know he worked for, Cox, whatever the entity is called now. I don't know, but he was such a big part of the company, basically. You know, a profit maker, and to think that if he went down would be terrible. Mm-hmm. But then if he also took the rest of the team,
true.
And so they asked him, at least don't take them.
And we've seen it with some corporations that won't let their executives fly on the same plane at the same time. Because we've seen losses where a plane goes down and you lose your top three people in a company. And that can be detrimental. Again, going back to value and stock.
You know, that also made me think, if this was a this big get-together in New York that the CEO attended when he was murdered.
Yeah.
I wonder if there were other. What if there were three or four CEOs walking together?
Well, and what was the thing you were talking about earlier on the whole thing with this guy and a potential bomb?
Yes.
Was that
maybe the initial plan was,
take
out more than one? Yeah. And for whatever reason, he didn't follow through with that particular plan.
Well, we were talking about the weirdness of the people that are putting him on a pedestal. Probably some of the same type of people are the ones who are posting pictures of other CEOs in New York City and putting a big X through their face and telling people who they are. It's like, okay, talk about stirring the pot.
Oh, not only that, you ready for this? I just found this.
Apparently
it was in USA Today. From T-shirts and hoodies to coffee mugs and shot glasses, merchandise referring to the suspected gunman in the killing of the CEO Brian Thompson on a Manhattan sidewalk is popping up on the internet. Online sellers looking to cash in on the sympathies that some have expressed for the suspect. Yeah. Sympathies for him.
Right.
Not for the family of the CEO. Yeah, I'm sure his kids were completely complicit in the way he ran his business. Isn't that awful? Anyway, yeah. I mean, there's enough to where it's drawing some attention.
This may be related to that. I thought that there were some things where they were putting the words deny, defend, oppose
yes.
on items.
Apparently that showed up on Etsy.
Okay. Well, that's not a surprise.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it'll continue to be on there now that people are pointing it out. I don't know. John Kerry celebrating a birthday. He's 81.
He'd probably jump in his plane, go fly somewhere and have a good old time.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Well, no, I knew that.
Okay.
No.
You knew I would say that, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. How about Jermaine Jackson? What do you say about that?
Wow.
He's 70, apparently.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know if it is current. I saw something.
Wait. It may not be current. It may not be germane to the topic.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Because we talk about her on occasion, Susan Day. I think that she just turned 72, if I'm not mistaken.
That's impossible.
I know. She's still like, what, legal, but 18?
21 or whatever?
20, yeah, legal.
Let's
in your
go
mind.
With 21 yes. just to be. Not that it makes you less of a perv at our age.
But she's got to be legal, right? Even though at the time you were, 13 or something.
Rita Moreno.
Yeah.
93.
I was going to say she's.
Does that make you feel old?
Well, yeah, because we've seen her our whole life on, in movies and television, that kind of thing. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, just catching you up on a few things.
Yeah, depressing you because we're all feeling old. But it is weird, though. We've talked about it. It's because we think of people as we remember them in their heyday when we were watching their movies or their TV shows. And that's how we remember them, even if we are now older than they were then.
How is it that Tom Selleck still...
Oh.
Looks the same.
He's another one that has a portrait up in an attic somewhere that's aging.
Right.
And he's not. Yeah, he's one of those guys.
I mean, he's not quite as lean as he was. He was pretty lean, but...
He's no Steven Seagal, 487 pounds.
Man, picking on my heroes. Taking down my heroes.
But Selleck, yeah. He still looks great. He's doing good.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace, the Republican out of South Carolina, has been quite outspoken about the bathroom issue and gender issues.
Yeah.
Well, apparently she was attacked at the U.S. Capitol on Tuesday by an alleged LGBTQ activist. Details on that and more.
Smacked her with his purse or something.
Coming
up,
somebody who's in the Biden administration, perhaps. I don't know.
No, that's if they stole your purse.
They slapped her and then stole her luggage. Stop that man with this Samsonite in a dress.
Oh, those heels. Can't run away.
No, nobody can run in heels. Yeah. It's 8:45. We've got plenty more to talk about. Oh, yeah. It's a happy Hump Day Trump Day on 97.3 The Sky. Do you think maybe that there is some anger... And I'm using generalizations here, but some anger that's been bubbling up from the left, that's always kind of there because they can be angry people, but that it's really been sort of coming to a boil because Trump won. These people with Trump derangement syndrome, that, man, when that strikes people, they're out of their flipping minds. They'll give up their jobs, their friends, their family because of an election. That's how kooky and crazy they are. Do some of them really believe that Trump's the next Hitler? I mean, you'd have to be virtually insane to believe that. Yet there are a lot of people that I think they do.
Yeah, they've been told it so many times, and they just keep repeating what they keep hearing.
So I'm worried that the violence is going to escalate in general terms, and some of it's going to be motivated by so-called activists.
Yeah.
Is that what this Luigi guy was? Was he like an activist? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He was radicalized. And this was a smart kid with, social skills. Liked. A lot of people said he changed after he had, combination of a sort of a disease in his spine in combination with a surfing mishap. He's got pins or something in his spine. But I think that, yeah, the violence thing is going to be ratcheted up, unfortunately, a little bit, bubbling up. This could be part of that. Congresswoman Nancy Mace, outspoken on the gender stuff and the bathrooms. And look, biological males use the male bathroom. Women use it, you know, things you think these are logical things, not necessarily in the minds of some. Allegedly, she was attacked by what's alleged as an LGBTQ activist. It happened inside the Rayburn House Office building on Capitol Hill on Tuesday evening around 6 p.m. Officers from the House Division and agents and the Threat Assessment Section were able to swiftly locate the suspect, identified as James McIntyre, 33, of Illinois. Following an investigation, McIntyre was arrested, charged with assaulting a government official. And in a post on X, Nancy Mace characterized the man as an LGBTQ activist. She said, quote, "I was physically accosted at the Capitol tonight by a pro-trans man. One new brace for my wrist and some ice for my arm. I'll heal just fine. The Capitol Police arrested the guy. Your trans violence and threats on my life will only make me double down." She said, while imploring people to hold the line. Wow. So this plays into my theory, if you will, that the far left and these so-called activists could become, and I believe are becoming, more angry, mm-hmm. which makes them more dangerous, which also makes them more likely to act out, in this case, a physical attack of a congresswoman. I mean, what do you hope to occur? You physically attack her. What do you think she's going to go, you know, I can see it now better from your point of view now that you've knocked me around and, you know, right. tried to break my wrist.
Right.
You know? Or, hey, I'm going to scare other people, you know, so they won't speak out. Really? So you want to stop free speech? Hmm. Mm. Yeah. And listen to this one. Democrats on Capitol Hill are begging President Joe Biden, set to leave office next month, to commute the death sentences of 40 federal inmates, including the Boston Marathon bombers.
Is that crazy?
Well,
really?
You know, they may have been in prison for a while, but I can tell you the wound of, like, losing a leg.
Yeah.
That doesn't heal over time. The wound of losing a loved one doesn't necessarily heal over time. It doesn't bring that person back. Why would you even consider that? Especially when it is so, what would you call it? Like, gutless. So cowardly.
Oh, yeah.
To set up an explosive device where you know that women and children and others, all innocent people, are going to be maimed or killed by it. What would be behind that? Oh, sorry that you made a bad call that day. We're having a bad day. What? How could you defend something like that? Oh, the list also include apparently child killers, mass shooters, those convicted for brutally murdering a woman. You know, if it's one of those things where, you know, they look back and they say some of the evidence was shaky and things like that, or the person, you know, made a mistake when they were very young and been in prison for decades, and it appears they've maybe changed their ways. You know, that's one thing, but that's not what we're talking about here. Today on Human Rights Day, we call on President Biden to do the right thing, to use his clemency authority to commute the death sentences of the 40 individuals on death row, to resentence them to a prison term, and save lives. State-sanctioned murder is not justice. The death penalty is cruel, racist, fundamentally flawed punishment that has no place in our society. What I find so interesting is these people who do not like the idea of capital punishment, the death sentence, mm-hmm. are some of the same people who vote for the pro-abortionist, even late-term abortionist.
Ironic, isn't it? Save prisoners, save killers, save murderers. But, oh, I don't really want a baby. Let's just,
sinless human being.
Right.
A sinless, pure human being. Don't want to give them a shot. Not a chance?
No.
Not adoption?
No.
Nope.
What's wrong with these people? Seriously. That is mental illness right there. That is your contrast in their brain.
Or they've got the devil's seed in them.
It's Satan.
Yeah, Beelzebub. Yeah. Yeah, there's something.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody write. All right. We've got a lot more to talk about. We only have the 9 o'clock stretch to do it in. So we're going to get that rolling. Also, we've got our Gun Owners of America friend next, 97.3 The Sky. Hang on.